go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 105 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I have a problem with my urine. It is neon yellow and has been for the last 48 hours. This is not how the B-Man expected to open episode 105, but sometimes I take a piss before filming a Verbal Graffiti and before doing stand-up because I have found that when my bladder is full and that pressure is on Mr. Perfect, you know, the urine's pressing against the pipe in Mr. Perfect, that's my penis, I will focus on that sensation than the funny in my head and that sensation becomes all-consuming, and I'm not as funny, and I get nervous. Like, well, what if I piss on stage? Can I hold it in for half an hour? I'm on stage. Sometimes I'll watch a stand-up special. Yeah, someone, I don't know, Bill Burr, someone like that, David Tell, and they'll do an 80-minute set. And I go, what? Like, what happens if they have to take a piss halfway through? Like, what? Are they able? Sometimes I'm more impressed that a comedian can hold his or her piss in for an entire headlining set than the actual material that's being said to all of us. So to all those comics, a tip of my penis to you. I hope to be one of you one day who can hold your piss in for a headline set. But yeah, this urine I have, it's shockingly yellow, and I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm not dehydrated. I have a water right here. I drink all day, every day. All I drink is water and coffee. And my neon yellow piss is persisting late into the evening, far beyond hours since I've had coffee. So it is not the bean juice that's turning it neon yellow. I've conceded the fact that my body is decomposing. My urine is a sign that I won't be here much longer because whatever that is toxic. And it's coming from my body, which means my body might not be alive much longer. I've never seen Agent Orange. That was that the thing in Vietnam that was killing a bunch of people or maiming a bunch of the people fighting in that war? I got Agent Yellow coming out of Mr. Perfect. This goes far. This is more my piss. Is more shockingly yellow than Gatorade. That lemon lime Gatorade. I could take my piss, put it in a Gatorade bottle, sell it outside Yankee Stadium, $2 for $3, and no one would believe me that it's Gatorade because they go, no, that's too yellow. That can't be Gatorade. Like this yellow I have on my piss, or my piss is it's Jamaica yellow. It's a Jamaican flag. The yellow on a Jamaican flag it appears to be more yellow than all the other yellow that we see in the world, and that is what my urine is right now. It is Jamaican flag yellow. I don't know what's making it look that way. I am very concerned because Mr. Perfect, he is a trooper. He is a soldier. He is a infantry soldier. He has gotten up. It is. Sometimes I'm in awe of who my penis will stay up for. Like he will stand attention to some of the brutalest babes out there. You know the term baddie? That girl's a baddie. No, I'm talking like bad. No, that girl is a baddie. Like, stay away from her. Mr. Perfect, he'll stay up and he will do the work. If we could do a lineup from like the hottest babe to the baddiest, the bad, decrepit, barely XY chromosome that Mr. Perfect has been able to stay up for during intercourse, it'd be a mystery novel. That's what it would be. Like, I don't understand how he's doing that. That is That's magic. How you're able to do that for with that big of a spectrum, wide of a spectrum. Whoa, we're going all over the place, with this opening. That's not what I. What did I actually want to open with? What was on my mind before I took that neon yellow piss? I want to call out propaganda. I want to call it out right now. There is this propaganda that I've heard this my entire life since puberty, that the babes, the baddies, they love a guy who can change a tire. That there's nothing hotter than a guy who can change his own tire. That is sexy. I'm calling bullshit on that right now. That is complete fabrication because I've been driving since I've been 16, and I'm estimating in my lifetime of driving, I've probably seen close to 100 guys over my lifetime changing a tire on the side of the highway. And not once have I ever seen a babe see that and pull over her car and give that guy sloppy top. Never happened in my entire existence of driving, which tells me that being able to change a tire is not actually attractive. Because if it was that hot, that stunning, that attractive, that steamy, there would be babes pulling over and giving guys sloppy top who are putting their car on a jack and putting on the spare tire. Not once in my lifetime has that ever happened, which tells me, right, actions speak louder than words. So the actions tell me that changing the tire is actually not as hot as all you babes claim it to be. Because if it was, I'd be seeing some sloppy top along the guardrail. You know what is hot? Hot is when you pop a tire, calling AAA, having insurance. There's nothing hotter than having another guy do the work for you. That is sexy. That is attractive. That deserves a sloppy top. Let's continue with verbal graffiti. All right. I found this one on the subreddit, Personal Finance, something I've taken an interest in the last few months. I'm 18. I just inherited $50,000. What now? My great-grandfather passed away before I was born. He was a head engineer manufacturer at Ford. Most 90s Ford engines were designed by him. Pretty cool, LOL. When he passed, his estate was with my great-grandmother, who is now resting in God's house. That means she's dead. She left her grandchildren, me, $50,000. I'll be receiving a check next month, and I don't know where to start. About me, I already set up a Roth IRA and have already invested some stocks. I work 25 hours a week at $20 an hour, and I'm going to school for a mechanical engineering, keeping it in the family. What should I do? Where should I put this money? What's the smart thing to do? I'm thinking about putting it in a high APY account. Do not know what that acronym stands for. And letting it grow, but I'm still lost. Any help would be appreciated. TIA, thanks in advance. TLDR, great grandma left me $50,000. Don't know what to do. Feeling overwhelmed. I am the B-man. I am underwhelmed with your post because I see your future and it's uninspiring to me. So first of all, a tip to the penis to you for your grandmother kicking the bucket and giving you $50,000. That's a great starting point. I too started on a Roth IRA account, did at the age of 40, not 18. So good for you there. All those APA, everything you're planning on doing with your $50,000 is responsible. And that's not who we are here at Verbal Graffiti. That might make your life safe. And what it's going to do, your future is what we talked about in episode 104. You are planning to be a W-2 worker, which is the worst thing you can be in the American economy. And it seems like you're jumping into the W-2 gleefully. You're asking people on the internet, how do I get a W-2? How do I fill out a W-2? We're all W-2. You should be asking the opposite. How do I escape the W-2 lifestyle? Because the lifestyle you're planning is mid, as they say. Everything about your life is mid. You're going to become a mechanical engineer mid. You'll make what? $250,000. You'll have two somewhat luxury cars. You'll have a wife who looks mid, but then she'll turn into the Pillsbury Dough Girl after having a couple of children who have a mid IQ. They'll go to a mid college. Maybe you'll retire early at 55 and spend the rest of your days wasting the rest of your days reading Ryan Patterson, or was that his name? Ryan Patterson, the mystery novel guy. You're just, you gotta understand, you are one in a million. That sperm that came from your daddy, that was one in a million sperm, got into that egg. And it got, you know, infested, got into that egg. You are one in a million, and you're wasting. You're wasting that lottery ticket. You're going to live a meaningless life that nobody is going to remember. You will die. You'll be lucky to have a 2-paragraph obituary, and you'll be forgotten within a generation. Your great-great-grandson won't give a fuck about you unless you leave him $50,000. And let's be real. $50,000 in the year 2025. It's nothing. That's monopoly money. You can't do anything with it. What can you buy with $50,000? You could buy a pre-owned, used Ford 150. And even after you buy that truck, you're going to end up in debt because of all the taxes and the registration fees and the gas. There's literally nothing you can do. Now, what you're doing is you're just... Can we compromise? Can you give the B-man that? Can we compromise? All right, you got the Roth IRA. Good for you. You're planning on putting all your money in all these APY, I don't know, these saving accounts that will get you 5%. Let's compromise. Take half that $50,000. Take $25,000 and put it into the S&P 500. Now, the B-man, I actually don't know how to put money in the S&P 500, but you seem like a smart Chad. Do that, and $25,000 when you're 18, the way the math works, by the time you're 70, that will probably be $3 million. So you have the safety net right there. The extra $25,000, let's talk. Let's talk ball. This is what the B-man wants you to do. The B-man wants you to turn that $25,000 into $1 million within a week. To do that, we gotta internalize Brewster's Millions. If you remember that movie from with Richard Pryor. Now you got $25,000. We gotta turn that into $1 million so that you can ball out. What I want you to do is get a Ziploc bag of cocaine, not a little dime bag that you flick. I want a Ziploc bag. So buy $12,000 worth of cocaine. Is that a Ziploc bag? I don't know. Hopefully so. Get yourself some poppers and go to the gay community. A lot of the gays, they love to do poppers before they, they have the anal sex with their boyfriends. Get the poppers, get the cocaine, spend a few hours on the subreddit of Wall Street Bats. Go to that. Those are all the guys. Those are all the finance bros and gals who they gamble their way. They gamble all their earnings on the stock market. So learn. Go to Wall Street Bets. Learn how to trade options. B-man, I do not know how to trade options. It's way too confusing for me. But again, you're a smart chat who's 18, already investing with a Roth IRA. It seems like you kind of know finance lingo. So learn, you seem like you're hip. You'll learn quickly. Learn how to trade options. So I want to see a post from you. So if you get this $50,000 next month, within 2 months, I want to see a post on Wall Street Bets from you telling all of us, like seeing the chart where you invested $25,000, it shot up to $750,000 by the end of the week, and then within 3 days, you're negative $30,000. But what I want you to do, more so than the gaining the hundreds of thousands of dollars with your options bets, is I want you to get that feeling, that feeling, right? That feeling. You remember Elon Musk, right? The inauguration when he did like the Nazi thing where it's like I don't want you to do that. It's so not funny, but like life is like that. If Elon had just gone like, yes, we won, like no one would have had a problem. But this are two completely different things, but it's just one more arm movement. But that what I want you to get is that, yes, that sensation, that gambling, that fix, that thrill, that dopamine rush that you get when you bet money and you win. I want you to get that feeling because I get the sense that you do not have enough dopamine rush in your life. So if you learn how to trade options and you win a few early on, that you'll be hooked, and then you can take that $25,000, and even if you lose it, you're going to be a mechanical engineer. You're going to be fine money-wise. You'll have the funds to get away from that W-2 terrible lifestyle. You can turn your life from mid to memorable. I don't know what the slang term is, but you want to get away from mid W-2, and the only way to get there is to use that $25,000 out of the $50,000 to become addicted to the rush that is gambling, right? And use the cocaine and the poppers to get over the nervousness in the very beginning. So I hope that helps. I hope you don't end up with a midwife who gets fat and gives you two children with an IQ of 95 that end up going to, you know, whatever state college, whatever state you're in, that's way overpriced. All right, I'm going in way, way too deep. So let's go look at some photos. If you're feeling frisky and in a charitable mood, this is what I would kindly like you to do for me, the B-man. I would like you to burn an episode of Verbal Graffiti onto a DVD. Get yourself a bottle of water-based lubrication and send both of those as a gift, anonymous gift, that is, to your HR department, all right? That's the only way we're going to spread the word about Verbal Graffiti and what this project is. And if you do that, you're a real one. You're a day one. You're a ride or die. You're a 100. I'm probably not going to pay you, and you're probably not going to do it anyways. So let's keep it moving. But yeah, please share, like, hit the like button, all that bullshit. I got to call out DT, President Donald Trump, 45, 47. I have a complaint to make to him. I don't know the phone number of the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So I'm just going to shout it out to the internet. Maybe it will find its way to him and he can change course. Let me phrase it this way. Now, from what Donald Trump has said, he wants to bring back expansionism to America, to the United States of America. He wants to buy Greenland, I think it is, or is it Iceland? It's one of those lands up there north. He wants to buy it and make it part of the United States. That is what I have umbrage with. Why are we as America gonna buy Greenland? Like, we are America. We shouldn't have to buy Greenland. We should take it. Come on, Donald Trump. You're the one who famously said, "Grab them by the pussy. Grab them by the pussy." Well, if we're gonna grab the babes by their pussy, why don't we just grab those countries by their capital? Like, we shouldn't have to pay them like we're some John on the street. Like, we're fucking America, right? We have the strongest military, the Constitution. We shouldn't be buying anything. If we want Greenland, Donald Trump, if you want Greenland for all of us, go take it. Don't be trying to slide them a $20 billion bill for their land. Just let go pillage it and take it and all their women and let's have a party, right? If can you imagine if Alexander the Great, that's really the only leader I know, what was paying off little villages to get some more land? No, he went there with a big spear and a horse and some fire and he took it. And that's how he earned respect from his countrymen. So Donald Trump, if you want our respect here at Verbal Graffiti, we will not be buying land, right? This isn't a real estate deal in New York, right? With some company with three last names. No, this is expansionism. We're grabbing what we want by the capital and by the pussy. Not the pussy, but the capital. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense to anybody? That's such a beta move. Like, oh, here's some money. Can we please have your country? No, like the alpha move is going, no, that's ours. What are you going to do about it? Because that's how I behave. We all, like, right, Donald Trump in America, we have a military, we have a defense budget that laps everybody else in the world. Like, that's kind of how I act when I'm out with my boys. I'm kind of a skinny, frail guy with this neon yellow piss thing going on. So I'm not running my mouth when I'm out alone. But if I'm with some of my boys who are a little taller, a little bit more broad than me, yeah, I'm talking shit to everybody. And I'm looking in the eye, what are you going to do? I got three guys behind me who have big biceps. So yeah, I'll call you out. I'll step on your sneaker. I'll pull your jacket. Like I'm fresh, right? When I got the boys behind me by my side, the left, right, I am fresh with everybody. I have a completely different mindset going out when I'm with people alone, right? I'm not grabbing anybody by anything. Just having my Modelo and keeping my head down and just kind of peering to see what's going on. But I am alpha as fuck when I got guys behind me. That's what I want from you, Donald Trump. That's what we want from you here at Verbal Graffiti. We got a military. We got the strongest military. We got the Constitution. We got 250 plus years of history. We're a strong nation. We don't need to buy anything. We take what we want. And that's what I want from you, Donald Trump. All right? So if you're going to be a memorable president, start taking land. Don't buy shit. How do you guys feel about that? Are you with me with that one? Meh. All right, moving along. This is something I found. I found this on the subreddit, Get Studying. How to make up for lost time. I fucked up bad and wasted like 4 months, and now I have my finals by end of April and haven't studied anything. How do I make up for all the lost time and cover the syllabus effectively? I'm good with studies. I just can't focus when I'm overwhelmed by a little amount of time. Any tips, guys? Save me, please. Thanks, emoji. Well, son, take a knee. Now, the B-man's going to tell you how to get through your finals and get through the semester. Flying colors, 4.0 or above a 3.0 GPA. B-man, learn how to speak. All right, you're on your knee. What you need to do, first of all, is you need to reframe how you're thinking. Similar to Donald Trump wanting to buy other countries, and I want him to change his mindset in more of a alpha, take what you want kind of mindset. You got to revolve your mind. See, right now you're saying, oh, I wasted the last 3 months of this semester doing shit, not studying at all. No. The B-man here is here to tell you, an experienced man, a graduate of college, and I also have a secondary degree, a master's degree, believe it or not. Yes, that is true. You have not wasted the last 3 months of this semester. You have taken full advantage of your prior time. I'd be upset with you if you were in the library every week the first 3 months of this semester. So no, you got to understand, 10 years from now, when you're on a bachelor party with the boys that are taller than you, so you can talk shit to everybody in Nashville or Austin or Miami or wherever you're at for that bachelor party, they none of your boys or you are going to be reminiscing about all that time you spend in the library studying for that microbiology exam. No, that's not what's going to happen. The only thing you're going to remember that happened in that library is getting your knob slopped by your whore of a college girlfriend. Remember that whore of a college girlfriend you had who slept with all the other chads on your floor your sophomore year? Yeah, college. What a time to be alive. But that's all you're going to remember from the library, or the college library, that is, or those little study, private study rooms that you can get reservations for, and you sneak in with your the whore girlfriend who slobs, and you spooge out on the window, and you get a good laugh at it till you find out she did it last week with some other frat bro. All right, I digress. So you've taken full advantage of the college experience. So what you've done the previous 3 months, or so I hope, is right. You binge drink 4 nights a week. You play intramural basketball or softball or swimming or whatever, or golf, whatever intramural sport you're into, you do that. You go to as many concerts as your ears will allow you to do so. You party, you rage, you play sports, you sleep in, you blow off class. That's what you've done. See, the people who have wasted the last 3 months are the weebs that have been in the library studying week after week. They're going to end up working in middle management. They're going to be the W-2 employees. That's not where you want to be. Those are a bunch of nerds. Stay clear of that. So up to this point in your college semester, you've done it all right. So reframe that mind. You have not wasted your time up until April. You have taken full advantage of it, and now that's why you deserve to pass this exam, whatever it may be. And the B-Man, I am here to help you, right? From one procrastinator to another, I'm going to help you pass this exam. It's very, very easy, right? Very, very easy. First of all, you got to find the hookup on your campus who has Adderall. Get some of that Adderall. If you have to get some money from your parents to do so, then do so. I am going to look the other way and not give you the stink eye for doing that. Find some Viagra and sniff that just for shits and giggles. I don't know if that will help you keep up. Get a six-pack of whatever sugar-free energy drink is your favorite. For me, I like 5-hour energy drink if you're a Monster kind of guy, or Celsius. Celsius, that's the big one now. Whatever it is, get that. Learn how to use all the AI programs so that you can get a practice exam or even an actual exam questions and answers from that AI program, whether it's ChatGPT, Grok, Gemini, the Greek science Chinese one, whatever it is. Like AI, it's fine. Like, right? Like AI has all the answers. Why would you even need to study? So a little bit of Adderall to stay up, a little bit of energy drink, a little bit of AI. Within 48 hours and maybe 10 hours of total sleep, you'll be able to be caught up with all the information. And if you really are a dummy, right? If you're really a dunce, a real dumb lollipop, and you can't catch up within the next 48 hours when you're on all these stimulants, that's when you gotta go to Plan B. And Plan B is not the pill to prevent pregnancy or to end a pregnancy. Plan B is you gotta go talk to the professor. You gotta smooze. You gotta get your sales guy's game going. Go into the office hours. Talk to whoever this professor is. Let's say it's a babe. Do some research of her on social media. If she's under the age of 50, she probably has some social media. Now, you want to find out what her vices are, right? And you kind of have to barter with what her vice is for a passing grade. Let's say it's a C, because GPAs don't really mean shit. So if she's really into like rescue animals and cats, get her a stray cat. If she's really into plants, find her an exotic flower. It looks like she's a boozer or a cocaine addict. Find a hookup and get her whatever drugs she likes. And just kind of go, hey, I got this for you. What can you do for me? How about we barter, right? We're in college. You're a professor. You must hate capitalism. Let's do some barter without real money and see if she'll play ball. Now, if she will not play ball, that's when the B-man says you gotta go scornful and you gotta threaten her. See, if you're in her office and no one else is there, that's when you can threaten a sexual assault. Not against her, but you could go to administration and say, hey, I was in her office and she came on to me sexually, and you gotta use that threat to the professor to get the passing grade. You gotta go, hey, if you don't pass me, I'm gonna go to the dean and say you made a pass at me, you made me feel awkward, and you're gonna be put on paid leave if you don't give me a passing grade. So that's what you gotta do. And listen, life is a little dirty. It's better to learn it when you're 19 or 20 than when you're 40 and you're stuck at an entry-level job with nowhere to go from there. So just play dirty. If you got to get nasty with her to get that passing grade, who gives a fuck? She don't care. She's going to forget who you are May 1st. So you're good. You're Gucci. You're 100. So that's what you do. You either study your ass off for 48 hours, try to barter above board, kind of, with the professor. If she's kind of a nerdy, says, oh, I do everything by the book, that's when you hit her with I'm going to threaten you with sexual assault charge. I hope that helps. Was there anything else? I feel like there was something else I could do. Oh, also, yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. And good for you. Good for you. I'm happy you're getting an education at a community college. All right. Let's continue reading The Salesman's Wife by the famous author, John Lawrence. We are now on, what page are we on? All right, we're on top of page 79. We will read two pages together aloud. No, she cried, crawling away from him across the rug. Please, please, do as I tell you, slave. He roared and once again grabbed her hair cruelly, painfully. Do you understand? I am your master now. Yes, she screamed in submission. Yes, I will. Still gripping her hair, he stood before her, legs spread obscenely, a cruel sneer slashed across his mouth. Take my noble instrument into your tender mouth, my slave, and suck it. Suck it! Harshly, he shoved her face right into his naked loins. Pamela could smell the strong, musky male odor that rose from his genitals, and she was brought suddenly back to the reality of her drug-induced lull. I can't, her mind screamed, but Carlsberg gripped her hair mercilessly and pressed her mouth against his lust-engorged penis. I said, suck it now, slave. There was no way out of it, and Pamela knew she had to surrender to his command. The angry redhead of his cock brushed obscenely against her lips while the doctor towered over her, waiting for her to lick and suck his mighty weapon. Timidly, the young housewife allowed her lips to close around the huge bulbous head. The texture of the taut, rubbery skin against her lips was at once vulgar and fascinating, and forcing her back humiliation, she tentatively began to suck on the swollen knob of flesh. Carlsberg moaned aloud as her soft, wet lips wrapped around his straining cock head. He loved to be sucked off, particularly in these fantasy sessions, for he reveled in the lurid practice. It gave him strength and obscene excitement. Waves of passion surged through his body, and he jutted his hips forward, holding her by the head, and began to push his cock deeper into the hot, wet cavern of her mouth. Pamela nibbled timidly at the roughly intruded spear, afraid to give in completely. Harder, he snarled, tighten his grip mercilessly. Suck it harder! Responding to his command like an automation, the young wife began to suck it on his mammoth, blood-engorged penis with her mouth as he moved slowly back and forth, swinging his hips lewdly, each thrust bearing his cock farther and farther into her oral cavity. Pamela continued to fight back, a raging sense of shame, determined to please him. She had always been deeply afraid of the powers of unleashed, savage sexuality, still bound by the early teaching of the stern, strict women at the boarding school. She redoubled her efforts. Suddenly, Carlsberg shoved his rock-hard cock deep into her mouth, nearly gagging her. This new thrust made her pull away instinctively, despite her determination to go through with it. But the debauched doctor had such a tight grip on her head that she was forced to take a huge, throbbing penis to the back of her throat. She was beginning to perspire now, and the flimsy costume she wore clung to her sweat-dampened body as she licked and sucked his lust-heated genitals, trying to win his approval. Her lips brushed along the thick, bluish veins that stood out under the thin membrane of skin of his penis, and she nearly choked as he continued to drive the steel-like rod of flesh far into her mouth. Little by little, her jaw began to relax, and her lips started to suck at the huge rod in rhythm to his savage thrusts. She could taste the little droplets of pre-cum on her tongue as the fleshy, wet cock moved in and out. Go suck a fat one.